Fisa was a guest at our last meeting, you may recall. And also, it's a pleasure to welcome our new Chief Financial Officer that we will be sharing with SUNY Potsdam, Natalie Higley. Welcome. We may go around the table. We should go around the table and maybe introduce ourselves just for the benefit of everyone, I guess.
Stacy Bassford.
Tom Sauter.
Chloe Ann O'Neill.
Roger Sherlin.
Nafisa Johnson.
Molly Bach.
Kelly Shepard.
Kevin Spellison.
Dave Gerloff.
Charles Fenner.
Chris Wright.
Natalie Bigley.
Tim Currier.
Dick Killen.
And we're waiting for Dr. Grace Burke and Cecily Morris, and should be here shortly. You received a copy of the minutes of our last meeting. The chair will entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Approved. New business, joint shared services report. I think you received it today, less than maybe an hour or so ago, so I'm sure you've had the opportunity to read those 100 pages. And
200.
How many?
200.
200, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was thinking of Ulysses. That was 834. Dr. Kennedy is on the telephone with a reporter right now, so should be back shortly. So as far as that report is concerned, we'll just set that aside for a few minutes until Dr. Kennedy comes back, if that's all right with everyone. Old business, I do not have any. Is there any old business that anyone else may have? I know what you just said, Tom.
You notice I didn't slug him.
Just to clarify that, someone in the room is celebrating a milestone in their journey through life Thursday. My report is short. Again, combined report you received today, and we'll talk about that later. You did receive a copy of our own individual campus report. I'm sure the College Council has received that. At some point, as chair of the College Council, I will make sure that our report is also sent to the Board of Trustees and elected officials, just for their information. And there are four new trustees recently appointed by the governor. I don't know, only Hank DeLay. What was Hank DeLay? General Services Administration,
something like that.
That's the only name I recognize. The other three, I'm not sure. But so just be aware, there are four new trustees.
He's been around.
Right, he's been around. And at some point, when I feel it's proper, I will be contacting the chancellor and requesting when we should start our search. And the response is an unknown. I think to back up our request for a search, and particularly to reemphasize the importance of having a president on our campus, you may want to be aware that the Middle States Commission on Higher Education, and this is public record on their website, has issued a warning to the Delhi campus already, and part of that warning is an assessment of the effectiveness of the administrative structure in relation to recently implemented shared services agreements and blah blah. You can read that. Also, SUNY Morrisville, again, to request a monitoring report, provide evidence that there is a chief executive officer whose primary responsibility is to lead the institution toward the achievement of its goals, etc. And also Cobleskill, basically the same thing. So whether or not the chancellor or the chancellor obviously is aware of it, whether or not the chancellor will make the Board of Trustees aware of this monitoring might be another story. But at some point, I intend to make sure that they are do become aware of that, because I think it's important for us to stress again in our request to the chancellor that we need a president on our campus. But I'll pass that around if you're interested in looking at it. If not, you can go on that website. It's public record. Again, a reminder about the Lake Placid annual convention for the college trustees, October 12th through October 14th, and you will receive more information about that later on. It might be good for some of our local campus trustees to attend that meeting in case there are challenges to some of the present state office holders, the president and so on, that some feeling on many councils is that the present leadership of the state association is somewhat ineffective. One other thing that I'd like to mention is Chloe-Ann O'Neill was elected into the Hall of Fame a few days ago. Congratulations.
And been seeing a lot of her lately, by the way. She is, as best I can tell, is in charge of Canton Biscamp Hospital.
Wouldn't you call me Queen?
I had heard other things, but I thought that was more politically correct.
And finally, again, not to beat a dead horse to death, though, but Stacy will be celebrating a birthday Thursday. And I will not dare say I will not dare say how many years that she will be celebrating. But that would be up to her to tell you, or Tom, or someone else. So. Or Dave. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
At one point, Joe and I thought about putting it down in the marquee in the theater, but we decided that really was not a good idea.
We couldn't find enough candles, that's all I can tell you.
Nice.
And that's basically all I have. If you have any questions, the brief material I covered. Okay, so we'll go back. Joe, since you're out of the room, we skipped over the shared services report to SUNY, if you'd like to make a few comments.
Well, I was just speaking to the reporter from the Watertown Times, Chris Robbins. Now, I'd like to know what person would name his or her son, Christopher Robin. But
Winnie the Pooh.
But Chris might be the sharpest reporter that reports on us that we've had in a long time. And he read the report, meaning he read the executive summary. He finally confessed that's all he had read. And he picked out the two most important points, just like that. And again, I'm impressed that he picked out the two most important points. One was what kind of leadership will the college have, and the other is the institute. And there are a lot of words in there for him to go through to pick out those two points, because everything else in there just about are words. And it was interesting him asking questions, trying to actually get his mind around, you know, what was going on. And so Randy was there. I thought it was an okay interview, but you know, I'm at a stage in my presidency where I can probably say what I want to reporters. And all I can tell you is Randy was throwing up in his trash can a couple times.
You being able to say whatever you say is the kind of thing that makes a PR guy nervous.
And the other thing is, I would encourage you to follow up, to communicate to the trustees and to the chancellor on this report. There is a 30-day comment period between now and August the 15th, but I would encourage you to consider having a resolution saying whatever you want it to say. I would encourage you to have included in that the report that our campus did that fed into the creation of the larger report, which have they seen that? If you've seen the two, you know that ours is considerably more succinct than the combined report, which is 200 and something pages. Anyway, and there may be some other things that you'd want to include in your resolution. I would suggest that maybe you look at my December the 15th report that I did to the chancellor, which is required by my agreement with her. because it contains information that is not contained in either of those documents. So it might be worth, what I'm thinking is, this is an opportunity for the College Council to complete the file. Well, maybe not complete it, but add to the file of information that would be available to the people who are going to make decisions about the future of the college. But I think the council should do something wrong. I mean, I think it's up to them, obviously, what they want to do.
When does the 30-day period start?
It has started? It has started.
And it ends?
The 15th of August. Probably the 14th of August.
But isn't the updated report due going to them by the 15th?
Oh, they'll have it beforehand. I mean, the sooner you can act, the better it will be.
So that's why I was asking for comments by July 31st, yep. August 1st, to ensure that we get there in that August 15th report.
But I just think it would be very nice to have an action of the council supporting whatever you want to support, mm-hmm. so that let's see if I can say this right. We have tried to be as open and transparent as we can with this, probably to the dismay of some. The entire report is on our website for anyone in the world to look at. We shared it around as we were working on it. We were very open in the whole process. And I just think sort of to round out this process in the sense of openness, if you have an opinion, you should have an opinion. And I think that it should not necessarily go through the filter of me. It shouldn't go through the filter of the chancellor. The people that will make the decision on the future of the college are the trustees. And I think at some point you communicate with them, because you are the local governing body, they are the statewide governing body. And I don't know if there's any legal relationship between you, but there ought to be. Well, there is, over the selection of a president, if nothing else. Dalton, that doesn't seem to hold a hell of a lot of water right in the last fair times. Okay, I didn't say that. I think I've said too much. I'll just shut up.
No, that's fine.
From a practical standpoint, we're having a meeting today. None of us have been through the 200 and however many pages.
None of you ever will.
Some of us will.
Maybe collectively.
Some of us will. In terms of process of passing a resolution that we transmit, does that require a quorum face-to-face? Are we able to do things telephonically and by email? Do you know what the law requires?
I think we have to do it. If we can do it, it has to be an official board meeting, notification and all that business. We can do it. It has to be a camera, though. It's my understanding. We can't do it just
remotely.
Right. We can do it remotely via camera, but not just telephone.
Okay.
It makes it difficult.
Well, I'm just thinking ahead that if we're serious about doing something, we've
got. Could you pass a motion today that you could amend later to make it simple? I'm just thinking.
No, I think it's a good idea, but I also think we ought to have the benefit of a few days to read it, process it, think about it, and get back together somewhere prior to the 15th of August.
Well, obviously, I have a very narrow perspective on this, but I actually think maybe the only thing I'd really ask you to do is to endorse the college having its own president. I would secondarily say, be nice to say something about the Institute being a great vehicle to put the two colleges down the road for the future. But I think you're right about being able to look at the document. But maybe these two aren't the same thing. Maybe one part of it is reading the document and getting comments to Stacy by August 1st.
July 31st.
But the other might be a document, just a resolution, simply endorsing the recommendation that the president, that each college have its own president. And like I say, I would include the two documents that have not been part of the record so far. This might just be me being mischievous. But I believe that SUNY Potsdam's council passed a resolution endorsing both colleges having a president sometime over this past year. And if they did, maybe that ought to be included, too. Okay, let's just start.
Dr. Kennedy, I wonder if it would be instrumental to the council that when we drafted our report, we focused on the five very specific bullet points from the Board of Trustees, and we answered them very concisely to draw the conclusion, therefore, we want our own president. And the report was clear, driving to that point. And the report in front of you meanders its way down a path that puts you to sleep. So I would encourage you to read the SUNY Board of Trustees resolutions that drove the beginning of this process. And there are two of them.
Yes, they are. They're in the appendices.
Oh, they're in there. Okay.
Of the report. Yeah.
Whether or not they mean anything in the decision of the Board of Trustees is still there. However, that's what drove our side of the report.
As kind of an outsider on that joint report, I felt SUNY Potsdam was dragging their feet on that single president without question.
Ron?
Yes. Yes.
I had a comment. And one of the resolutions that the Board of Trustees put out, it's kind of like a gray area that people overlook the way they place the wording, but it's a technicality, and it says that college councils basically have the most influence on the decision that the Board of Trustees make as far as any presidential decision. But, I mean, the college councils at the other schools that have been formed together have been silent, and ours in Potsdam seems to be the most active. So I think you can use it if we do overlook it and kind of nitpick it, because it does say in like clear English that the college council of said campus, who's in the process of picking their president, has the most influence on the decision. They don't have the final say, but they have the most decision. And it seems as if the Board of Trustees is not respecting what's in their resolution. So I think those two resolutions do make a valid point in what we're trying to do.
Okay, what we'll do then, if you will have your comments and thoughts back to Stacy by July 31st, and then we'll get some kind of a resolution together with some of the points that Dr. Kennedy suggested and any other points that you feel are important. And we'll get a resolution done shortly thereafter, and either by some kind of a meeting. Yes.
Just thinking about Joe's comments and other comments, can we do that right now? I mean, I'm looking at the Board of Trustees resolution, and they give us the first whereases. Whereas the Board of Trustees of SUNY directed.
Which one do you have, Tom?
I have the September 20.
I'm not sure,
but I'm just
okay.
For example, I mean,
yep.
Whereas we were directed by the SUNY Board of Trustees, we can just use their words. Whereas we were directed to prepare a report to the Chancellor by March 30, give their words right back to them. Whereas the college has done that and has concluded that a single presidency is appropriate for the leadership of this institution, now therefore be it resolved. I mean, that's kind of the bones of it, but if we're really talking about two things, passing a fairly narrow resolution as one and then secondarily reading through a couple hundred pages and getting comments back to Stacy in a week.
I think you could do it, but I bet this, again, it's up to the council.
What specific points you were talking about your December report you did? What specific points are in there that you really want to think we should be given, other than one presidency?
I think it provides information on funding and support levels of the state and enrollments that are not really addressed directly in this report. It wasn't called for. It wasn't asked.
Do you feel that should be included in this resolution?
I wouldn't put it in the resolution. I would have
And we can just use that.
Yeah.
Okay. And it may also help in reviewing that again to provide some comments that we might provide to Stacy by the 31st.
I don't think the December the 15th report has been public in any way. And so this will be your first look at it, because I don't want you to say that. So before we attach it, I think we're going to send a negative call. It's short. You remember how long it was?
That would be great if we could have that.
That'd be easier to read.
On the November 22nd request from the Board of Trustees.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's College Council. Stacy.
On the November 22nd request from the Board of Trustees, the last paragraph, and we can draft our resolution indicating that we have met.
Mm-hmm.
Every standard that they have requested. The last paragraph it says, upon submission and consideration of the reports described above and successful implementation of the above goals at each pairing of campuses as determined by the chancellor, the chancellor will work with each college council at a college where there is a presidential vacancy to initiate a search for single campus president for each school. So we can merely indicate that we, in this report, we have felt that we've met those goals and challenges.
We really have.
And I think we have. And like David or Randy, I can't remember which, just said, I guess David, in our report, it would step by step by step, meeting each of those requests on that, that the chancellor asked us to do. Now, pass a resolution now verbally.
I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone else, but certainly I think that it behooves us to try to get together again very soon. And from my perspective, I just want to say I'll make myself as available as I can, because I believe I realize the importance of it. I can't speak for others who may have commitments that we can't get around, but I would certainly welcome that opportunity.
I'll be more or less okay.
That would be fine. I think if that's what it takes, we need to try to do that. If we could get a quorum.
Can we use Skype? Those that have Skype can come.
I'm sure IT could figure it out.
The college has a system that simple download, and you can have Hollywood Squares.
Really? Wow. Okay. But I
can be here. I'd love to come and discuss.
I know I could be here.
What's the date? Your date?
No, 7:31 at 4:30.
I can't make it. I'll be the only one.
I don't know if they'll allow me to change my patient schedule. That's the only thing. So, I'd like to, but I have to choose.
If I can get a confirmed 5, we'll be set. If you can make it.
I'll be here.
I will.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I can.
Okay. Two more.
I don't know yet.
You have 5.
I have Dick, Ron, and Cloanne. Roger, you said you would?
Yes.
Tim, you don't?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have my...
So if I can get just one more out of the I don't know, as we can make a go of it.
Let you know tomorrow.
I'm sorry, we're kind of under the gun, I guess it's...
The piece of the college should be able to loan you a laptop air card.
That's not the situation. I have a laptop and everything, but I'm going to be at Columbia University with international students. So I'll either be traveling, like taking them back and forth to the airport, or I won't be stationed to do it, like in one place.
Maybe we could hold a meeting over in your car room?
Sure.
I probably can get over. I just have to double check. I think I can.
What if we rolled it back a half hour? Does that help?
Yeah, we could do that too.
To 5? 5 might make it a little bit easier. If 5 works for... But I mean...
So this is fine, huh?
You want to try 5?
Stacy's buying dinner? Does that mean pizza?
Yeah.
Because when I'm buying dinner, it's usually pizza.
We're going to say 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, July 31st. And I'll send you the location and everything.
And then we'll have the draft the resolution or have something. And then maybe we'll have the resolution written, and then you can critique it or whatever.
We could do that by email or whatever,
right.
And then...
Sure.
Yeah, if we could have it in advance by email, just for those that can't attend, they could at least see it and provide comment.
I don't know about the legality of it, but those that you can't be on the phone and be a voting member, but if anyone wanted to call in, if we had a quorum, those could call in and participate, as far as I would be concerned.
Well, we did that. I called in from
Arizona
last August.
We did that before.
Yeah. Couldn't vote, but
I could call.
Participated.
I think you can call in if we have a quorum. Yeah, that's it.
Call
right.
in.
If we have a quorum, you can call in and you can vote.
Couldn't vote.
No,
could call
vote.
In and participate right. in the discussion, but could not vote.
Okay.
Had to be present to vote.
No, if you're on camera, you could vote. That's right.
Right.
Okay. God, there's lawyers.
They drag you crazy. They drag you crazy. You know more than anyone.
I'm quite thinking.
Chief's agreeing with you.
Can you come in?
The chief is agreeing with you.
Okay, then we'll move on then. So that's pretty well settled. So we'll do that on the 31st. 5 o'clock. All right, briefly, the President's report, very briefly.
As brief as I can be, a Homeland Security degree has been approved by State Ed and SUNY, so we are able to start that degree offering this fall. We have a slate of new faculty hires for the fall, which I'm very excited about. We continue to increase our PhD. Our faculty and PhDs. We have been immersed up to our eyelids with preparation for Middle States accreditation. And just as that piece of paper was documenting the concerns that there were from Middle States on Delhi's campus at Cobleskill, we're very aware of the concerns that they brought up with regards to student assessment and student learning outcomes. So those are hopefully we'd be put to bed here, those concerns, and so we will not hopefully would see any of that feedback from the Middle States Commission when they come to review us this fall, initially this fall. And I'm pleased to have Karen Stolesi step in behind me as interim provost starting in the next few weeks. So it's a joy to be working with her more closely, and I don't know if she feels the same way, but I'm very excited to have her agreed to step into an administrative role. And I am also pleased to announce that I gave birth in the past 30 days, and I have a new baby. So thank you for all of your support.
I just wish to interpret what she said for Kara. She said, here's Middle States.
And Karen said, I do not have a 40 number. So thank you.
Chris and Natalie.
I just want to give a brief report on the projects. Cook Hall will be, the phase one will be completed, and we will be able to occupy that building for the fall semester. So phase two will start immediately after that, but at least early childhood will have a real home and faculty and others. Wicks Hall, we are experiencing some delivery problems with windows, and so we're going to be doing some... Creative building for a few weeks until those windows can be delivered.
Something.
Well, little ones anyway. So the budget is, we ended 2011-12 in a very positive matter, and we have until September to close that out. So I anticipate that at the September meeting, Natalie will be giving you some insight into that. And the 12-13 budget is just being put together, so there'll be more information coming forward on that also.
Chris, Natalie, do you know when the new funding formula will be exercised and shared?
They're still trying to develop and decide what will make up the new funding formula. I do know there will be some performance-based funding, but initially it will be minimal, like 5% or something of the budget will be based on performance funding. Going forward, that will increase. Enrollment will be a big piece of it. Research and maybe mission, but they haven't decided that yet either. So it's still up in the air. There's still committee after committee meeting about it. And so I would say hopefully for 13, 14, they would roll it out. Something should be out by September, but I don't really see that happening.
It's hard to get these done because there will be winners and losers.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes it difficult. We're actually getting, I would guess, based on real enrollment, less than $2,000 per student in state support,
mm-hmm.
which might put us down in the bottom two or three in the entire state university. So we are most likely will have an increase, but there are others that will not be in that position. And I just know how reluctant the system has been to cut budgets at colleges. You understand why they'd be reluctant. They go through this exercise, they call it a collar.
Mm-hmm.
A collar means you can't go up or go down by more than a certain percentage. And first they were saying 5%, and then I heard 4%, and then I heard 3%. You get the idea. I think we will go up. I just don't think that we will go up as much. Although I did hear a proposal that colleges that get more get all of it. And the colleges that go down, they will take them down slowly over the years. But I don't know how you make that work in a mathematical sense.
And they don't know, because some colleges will be impacted severely. And there are some campuses that are on the edge right now. So it's going to be very difficult. Another thing that's happening is the Division of Budget is not releasing allocation like they used to. They're holding it back, and so we're going to have to use our cash to get through. Unfortunately, we have the cash because they believe SUNY has too much cash. When they look at the books, they see cash, and to them, that means, why do we need to give SUNY any money? They have all this cash sitting there. Fact of the matter is the cash is reserved or designated for certain things. They're student fees.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the money that they're looking at are student fees. And so they're going to, campuses are going to have to spend their cash in order to get through the year until they can get all the allocation from the state. And it's not going to be very easy to manage that.
Smart way to run a business.
Chris, what other campuses do that are right on the edge right now?
I don't know. They'll have to have some help from the system. They'll either have to borrow money or, I mean, downstate is in a situation where they've had to borrow a lot of money from the system just to, because they're in really bad financial situation.
And they started what else this week?
When you're talking about an adjustment of, say, a maximum of 3% or 4%, is that annually? So we could potentially go up 3% this year, 3% next year, 3%. You know, so in say 3 or 4 years, we might be in a lot better shape.
And it's only the state support; it's not the tuition. So it only impacts the state support that we get.
So it wouldn't be as significant as you might hope, I suppose.
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, it's significant.
Some campuses are more state support dependent than others. We're very tuition dependent. And if you are a state support dependent campus and they're holding back state support, that's going to be very painful to some campuses.
Well, a few years ago, we had this interesting crossover point where we were getting 40% of our support from the state and 60% from tuition. Maybe less than that now, but at this point in time. But that same year, Stony Brook was, say it again, 40% of our support came from the state, 60% from tuition. At that point, Stony Brook got 60% of their support from the state and 40% from tuition. And those are the colleges where Chris is holding back the allocation from them will be very painful.
Good news, bad news in relation to numbers. So the good news is this is our strongest academically prepared incoming class with an 82.6 high school GPA. We have made significant gains in moving that bar upwards throughout the whole year. The second piece of good news is we're running significantly ahead. So we have 62 more first-year paid deposits overall we have 132 overall deposits, 133 overall deposits ahead of last year at this point. That's really good news. Bad news is we're out of housing. And so we opened up 300 new beds last fall, and we had a much higher return rate from upper-class students choosing to live on campus. And it's really a sign of great growth. The baccalaureate expansion is taking hold, and students are attracted to our housing, and they want to live on campus at a higher rate, and that's fantastic. So Molly might talk about some of the scrambling to find housing.
We've been buddies this week, aren't we, Dave?
And Residence Life has done a wonderful job in trying to secure off-campus, secure additional on-campus spaces, but we as a residential population have not seen these days since 1984 in the number of students that will live in the traditional residence halls and certainly overall campus housing. So it's good and bad, and we're hopeful that we'll be able to make it through without losing in potential enrollees that don't have housing from outside the area who won't be able to come to Canton. But it certainly is a sign of the baccalaureate mission taking hold and the expansion of college. Related to that, we are in plans for an additional residence hall funded by the foundation that won't be here till 2014. We're looking into modular housing for next fall, a year from now fall, and some other possibilities. We had what I would characterize as the best alumni weekend last weekend that the college has had, certainly since my time as vice president. We had 150 folks attend the Hall of Fame. That was Friday night. We had about 130, 140 Theta Gamma fraternity members celebrating their 100th anniversary. We had about 130, 140 Delta Kappa Sigma brothers celebrating their 35th anniversary. We had about 40 or 50 general alumni. We had over 400 people on campus. And it was minor road bumps here and there. A lot of frothy beverages were consumed, but a lot of very happy alumni. Not that I know about.
Okay.
We believe that within the next 2 weeks we will have a ribbon cutting ceremony for the Subaru training center in our automotive lab. I was told today that we will be delivered, besides the large number of tools that they have turned over for this center within the automotive lab, we will be receiving three vehicles, brand new vehicles from Subaru, Plattsburgh dealership, Barstow, and Fusillo, and we just need to get over a few more minor hurdles in relation to liability concerns. We think we're almost there. That will be a wonderful announcement. Many of you may have read about the wind turbine, the NYPA arrangement. I've tried to keep you up to speed over the last number of months. Phase one will cost the college nothing, grant supported, to essentially take the robust studies that we've done at this point and truly finalize them, where we will bring a decision before the college, probably this body, what you assume, Dr. Kennedy, where almost $7 million wind turbine will sit right at the edge of the field over there and supply as much as a third of our electrical power. And then finally, Randy has some exciting news that you may have read about concerning athletics.
Hopefully most people read about it, but we were accepted on provisional status to the NCAA in athletics, and that's a huge step for us. I think it's great, not only for athletics, but the overall branding for the college and what it says, that we're no longer a junior college, per se. I think it says it loud and clear that we're a bachelor's degree college, and So that's terrific news for our athletic programs, which have expanded significantly over the past couple of years. We added four sports this year. We'll add women's ice hockey next year, and we more than doubled our number of athletes from 127 2 years ago. Next year we'll be up to close to 300 or maybe even over 300 athletes with the addition of women's hockey. So it's pretty exciting. It's a huge step forward for us, and it's a great marketing piece for not just athletic, but the whole school. So really, it's a nice accomplishment.
Dave can correct me on this, but I think the number you were giving of about 83 for the average was actually the median of the freshman coming in, high school median. And I don't know if this will impress any of you, but as much as it actually does me, is that just a few years ago our median was 77, and now it's 83. And what that means is half the students are coming to us with high school grades higher than 83 and half or lower. And this year, very few that are on the low end. We've pretty well weeded out that group. So I think that part of that's been happening over the last few years, but part of it is we have some new returning students as well. And I, Carly, you really need to worry about that because we don't really know at this point how many returning students we'll have. We never do. I don't even know. We don't even know how to know. Mm-hmm. And we have a very, we're living in an age where students are low. They can go here 1 year and someplace else another year. So you can just, we don't know. But we need more English classes, I'm pretty sure of that. Anyway, Molly.
Well, I'll take off from Dave. Yes, we're full, and it is really significant that we have this large returning population because that feeds into what SUNY looks at us for, which is our retention and graduation rate. But having this campus full of students is going to create a very vibrant community, and we saw that last fall. It does present challenges. This year, our discipline went up 300%, and that's not because the kids are doing, you know, things they didn't do before. It's because we have more students, and we also have a zero-tolerance policy where we do address and we don't let things go by, so we've changed our philosophy. We have more students. We're more diligent, but it does create some challenges, and it'll be an incredible, crazy, vibrant, chaotic, wonderful fall semester. I am sure of it. The other thing is we have increased the student numbers and we have increased the faculty numbers, but with a lot of things going on, you know, with shared services and what they're looking at, we have not increased the support or service to any of these students or faculty. Hopefully that will swing, we'll move the dial on that in the future, but right now it's being funneled into academics, but the more faculty we have, the more services we need to provide to those faculty, especially in terms of online learning and the technology. And that's certainly a concern for my area because of all the demands that we'll put on the existing staff or the low staffing areas right now. The other big news, though, is the relationship of shared services to information technology. This has been one of the most cultivated areas in the shared services initiative right now, especially because it supports the business processes. And that's the whole point of the business processes. If we're going to streamline and create these economies of scale, you need the IT infrastructure to support that. We started off slowly, but we have really gotten a lot of traction with SUNY Potsdam and SUNY Canton. We probably meet and spend at least 15 hours a week on communication between the two IT departments. And specifically, we are working on aligning the different processes, aligning the software, aligning the practices, perhaps even having a banner team that serves both campuses that works on a project that's not so campus specific, but specific to our student information system. I think we'll see a lot of good things come out of this. But it's definitely a very complicated and detailed road, and we are looked at in SUNY as the model and the pilot for getting a lot of these initiatives going because the conversations have been so in-depth and so collaborative between the two institutions. I do think that's really important. That SUNY Canton and Potsdam is looked at as the pilot and the model, and it's taken a lot of effort on the different staff of both areas, but I do think a lot of positive things will happen.
But I will say that the culture on both campuses will change. The way we do business will change. This will be a significant shift for both Potsdam and Canton. At Potsdam, they're used to customizing things on demand. Canton, we're used to being right there when people need us. This will change the way we do business. And so it's going to take some time and some awareness and understanding and really help from both campus communities. But I do think we'll be in a better place in the future.
I bet they're going to be more like us than us like them.
Exactly.
Maybe this was a naive, of being naive in reading the draft report, but I was frankly stunned that SUNY Central didn't years ago say, here's the software platform,
yeah.
folks.
Mm-hmm.
All 64 campuses,
mm-hmm.
use it.
You said that before, Natalie.
That's not, that's not
no.
the case. I'm stunned.
Yeah.
It goes back to the origin of the university. It was
yep.
put together in 1948 of, not 64 then, or how many colleges there were then, 30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo was a private university.
Understood, but it's not 1948 anymore.
No, but the traditions die hard. You know that in higher
yeah.
ed.
Well.
No, and I think we're headed that way.
General Motors was put together with a bunch of little individual car
yeah,
companies, too.
Example.
Well, but, okay, pick a multinational. Microsoft has bought out 100 different software companies in the last 20 years. And I guarantee you that the Microsoft operation in California runs on the same
mm-hmm.
back office platform as the one in
you're
Florida.
Reaching, you're reaching to the
okay.
yeah.
Well, I just, and I don't mean
yeah.
to sound that way. I was just, that really surprised me that,
yeah.
that SUNY had not moved past 1948.
There are areas where I would enforce that. We have how many different course management systems do we have to say? Maybe three or four.
Probably about three, and SUNY would like everybody to go the course management system that we have, and they will be moving the other campuses to that system in the
but
future.
It's a real risk that we get locked in
mm-hmm.
one system. No ability to explore and look at other options. Because we went from Blackboard to Angel,
mm-hmm.
and saved us an enormous amount of money. And really, it was the ability of other companies to compete
mm-hmm.
to convince a single campus, let's try this. There's the risk of.
But shouldn't that be the role of SUNY? Shouldn't SUNY have
mm-hmm.
some office that's continually out there searching for the next
They do, but I don't think it's
big deal.
They haven't proven to me
that they can do it. Okay.
And,
all right.
And that'll be the big culture change is we don't have that flexibility that the campuses are used to.
You don't need to read it.
One more thing. They are yet to try to tell the four big universities to do anything. Who knows what's going to happen when they call up Stony Brook and say, you're going away from, they use PeopleSoft.
Well, they're
going right?
to let them continue with PeopleSoft.
Oh, there you go.
Well,
I give up there.
A little anchor of PeopleSoft there, but the rest of the SUNY cannot be.
Well, and what happened in the University System of Georgia is exactly what that. They left the four big to do their own thing. They didn't want to touch them.
Yeah.
Probably not worth it, actually.
And they won't hear either.
But it would be worth it for the other smaller ones, though,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if SUNY or Stony Brook that came on board, the four bigs came on board with us, that
it'd be a big deal.
It increases our buying power
yes.
by so much
yes.
that it would be.
But politically,
they don't want to make that.
It's difficult for,
fight that battle.
For the big schools, though. For them to come on board with the smaller schools. I mean, it sounds bad, but because like Cornell, for instance. There's always an issue with Cornell because it's not recognized as a SUNY sometimes because Cornell has so many institutes inside of it. So it's difficult for a lot of these big schools to come as a whole because a lot of times they're really individual because they have so many different institutions. But I have a question, though. So from a student perspective, this residential issue is becoming, like, a major, major issue compared to what on, like, the administration side that you guys are dealing with. So as a student, you know, representing, how do I, like, what do I tell them? Because students are, like, on Facebook, they're on, like, the To Be a Roo page, and just, like, social networks, like Twitter, all these things, they're having difficulty. Because as an RA, I have to get a roommate. And it's like, okay.
No.
But no, I'm saying I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem.
Give them Molly Mott's direct phone number.
But I'm saying, so like students, we always have this issue because like I'm an RA and then I'm also orientation leader.
Yep.
So during move-in, there's always this major issue where it's like, well, I paid for a double, now I have a triple, and we always have to tell them, like, you know, during the semester you'll get switched. And parents are like, no, nobody cleans the bathroom, I'm taking my kid away. But it's like, what are we supposed to tell these students to prepare, like, returners? Because returners are expecting, you know, they're expecting what they're used to. And knowing that the college is going through changes that, you know, we are advancing in a, you know, very speedy and positive manner. But students who request a double are gonna expect that when they walk into their resident hall. So, like, what do I tell them? Because it's every day. It's not, like, every Monday. It's, like, every day. They're asking that question. And even though they call Res Life, they still go back to Facebook.
Well, I had a great suggestion, but no one would accept it.
What was it?
I said, tell the students just to be quiet, and after their parents go back home, we'll give them the difference in cash.
I think Chris kiboshed that.
I really need an answer.
Disciplinary actions might go up, but complaints would be gone.
You can come see me.
I think that the only ones getting tripled are freshmen or upperclassmen who request to be tripled. The BA Route page is for incoming freshmen.
Yeah, but there's a lot of
people
like,
that who are have reapply. But the, you know, those complaints are mostly freshmen who, you know, on the BA Route page that you're talking about are mostly incoming freshmen who preferred to be in doubles and requested to be in doubles, but they're in triples. And quite honestly, we've tripled most of our students, and most of the other SUNY schools are doing the same.
I don't know, I don't know which page it is, but it's not only that. Like, students text me, they find a way. But I'm just saying, like, I know as an RA, like, all the first floors are tripled, second floor is impossible, third floor is not possible, but it'll be possible. But I'm just saying, like, what do we tell our students? Because it's easy to say it, but you guys don't have to live there. You know, 9 people sharing 1 toilet, it's kind of hard. So, like, what do we actually tell our students to keep that positive manner? Because some students will decide to leave when they get here, or even freshman students, because they don't know what to expect. They've never been on campus. I mean, our returning students, I care about them, but they could be dealt with at a, you know, at a later time. But it's just like, what do you tell them? See what I'm saying?
Is there a plan to tell them anything before they get here? They're notified.
They've already been notified.
And they're talked to, and you know, just from being down there and pounding the pavement on opening weekend, I absorb a lot of it, and I think that helps, that the parents can talk to me and they yell at me and everything like that. But I think us being there and being involved and letting them talk to us and assuring them that we're going to do everything to make it better. And we did, you know, last year we did as much as we could in terms of, you know, route cards and extra things and attention. And I think we need to be there and show up. And I can promise you I will do that.
I mean, another response to me is accurate, detailed information. And last year we ended up yielding 942 first-year students. We're running 62 deposits ahead at this point. Will we yield the goal? The goal last year was 960. We fell short of the goal. The goal this year is 970. Will we meet that goal? Mm-hmm. The clear answer to me is, returning students chose at a much higher rate to live on campus because of the attractiveness of our residence halls. And this is a popular place.
But, Defisa, I think it's good that you brought that to our attention, particularly the folks that are involved, and I'm sure that those issues will be addressed.
Yeah.
Maybe you could tell your students, at least you let the powers to be know that the problems are.
Yeah, because students,
it's important.
Their reaction is, why accept more beds like than you have? And my response is, well, you predict that you as a senior would want to live off campus. Like, you would think as upperclassmen, you guys would want to explore the North Country and move to the Adirondacks. You know,
and you did. And they did.
You know, like, that's what you expect. So that's what I tell them. I mean, it's a common sense thing. Like, leave. It's your third, fourth year. Like, go off. If you're not going to be an RA or, like, give back to the community, leave campus. still take our classes and give us your tuition.
I spoke to the Alumni Association on Saturday, and I gave them a talk about it. It's all about the numbers.
Yeah.
And I talked about that. But here, the one thing that I maybe should leave this group with is that when we run one student off, and it was a four-year student coming here to stay 4 years, and we find we don't accept them, we don't have housing for them, so that's the biggest reason. We think that cost us 40 students last year, maybe. Mm-hmm. Each one of them is worth $60,000 over 4 years, which is one full-time faculty. Mm-hmm. And so it is all about the numbers and trying to keep the population as large as you can keep it. I mean, the goal is, and I've said this today 10 times now, is to have another residence hall next fall. And I think it's possible. I think it can be done. And we've seen examples that the prices are outrageous where we can have 180 more beds. And I was so impressed with what happened this year with having more students on campus in a positive way, not in a negative way, but just student life improved. The quality was just amazing. Mm-hmm. With 900 students, it's not enough, which is where we have been. This year, I think.
I'll never sleep.
I think it's a testimony to the quality of the student life program that, mm-hmm. that we had last year, that more students are choosing to stay.
Yeah. There's pretty good reasons to stay on campus.
That's good.
Any other questions for Dr. Kennedy or any of those that have addressed part of the President's report? If not, we'll move on. Just one other note that... we have Chris Gray with us today. That will be Chris's very last college council meeting. Chris will be retiring shortly. So let us give Chris a round of applause. Thank you, Chris, for your dedicated service.
Thank you
to
for your support.
College.
Didn't you retire a couple times? I have. I'm sure this is the right time.
I think it is.
Of course, we have one other person who will be meeting the last college council meeting as president. I asked Joe the other night at dinner whether or not he would be interested in being a college council member, but he didn't seem to. I thought that would be interesting.
I'm actually reconsidered. I'd like to be on the Potsdam College.
There he is.
There we go.
But again, let us give Dr. Kennedy a standing round of applause for his service. Anyone have any comments about Dr. Joe leaving? I mean, being his last meeting. I guess we all know how you feel. If not, the chair will entertain your...
Can you come to my graduation? Can you come to my graduation?
Are you going to graduate someday? If you let me know, I'll do everything I can to be there.
All right.
So that's nice.
Tweet you.
The chair will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
By Tom, second. Opposed, carried. All in favor, rather. Thank you very much for coming. And we'll see you a week from today. Apparently, for now, we'll be having maybe a weekly meeting. No, I just did.
Everyone should come.